You have heard me, I guess, since the beginning of the year talk about Christian courage. You've heard a few messages on Christian courage. You will see a lot of scripture that I use from Sunday to Sunday dealing with Christian courage. Each message is different, but the word remains the same. The scriptures that I read of God's holy word cannot be rewritten. The scriptures that you and I are to study and to learn from are direct from God. God says, here's my word. And by the way, I want you to understand, I will give you the courage. I am the one that'll pick the path for your life. I'm the one that is going to lead. When I call my army together, I want my army standing on the front line because I want my army to see what I'm going to do for them. I want you to know I will call you to arms, and God says that. The whole armor of God. We are called to arms. We are called by God to show up, to watch Him express His love to each one of us. I want to show you how much I love you. Do you know that religions throughout the world, all of them outside of the relationship with Christ or Christianity, I don't even put Christianity into the religious pile. Christianity is that walk with Christ, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and each one of us a part of His body, that we know that God has called us for a particular time period, a particular message, a particular situation during the time that we're on planet Earth. No accident you were born in this generation or to live through this generation. It's not by mistake when God looks at us. We look at our own life and we wonder, Lord, have I ever kept one commitment I've ever made to you? You know what God does tell us? God lets us know, I love you. When I mess up, quite frequently, along with the rest of you all, I understand God loves me. God loves me. You know, I'm His. But it doesn't keep me from being hurt within and also hurting for others and also then hurting others. We have to be careful. A lot of damage is done in this generation by Christians, church members, throughout the world. The problem with our churches, folks, is not from the attacks from without, but from what's going on within. When God, I remind you once again, says, judgment begins at the house of the Lord. He didn't say that for you to just bypass it. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. Not everyone who says, praise God, Lordy, Lordy, knows Jesus. Just because, as Brother Randy was alluding to, just because your name is on a roll, you go to church, you sing, you pray, you shout, that has nothing to do with whether or not you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I can picture Satan patting his foot at some of our tunes, Brother Randy. You know, that sounds pretty good. But it doesn't keep him from being the devil of hell that he truly is. So this morning, we're going to stand together in just a second here and read John 3:16 all together, because that is a voice that I want you to hear. John 3:16, when we're looking at it, when we're seeing that for God so loved, when we're reading the Word of Almighty God, we understand that He says, This can be imprinted in your spirit. See, my soul will forever know that God so loved. He so loved me that He gave. Now, if God loves me so much and He loves you so much that He gave the best He had to give, do we not then accept our responsibility as Christians to do the same to our fellow human beings? What about to a world that out there that do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Why won't they come to God's house? And then all we have to do is look with inside and say, well, I understand why they don't come. Maybe they're not welcome. Maybe they don't feel welcome. Well, let me tell you something about this congregation. If you don't feel welcome in this congregation, you got the problem. Because this is a group that's going to love you and care. But we're also quite solid in our commitment to Jesus Christ, as in we will not allow the world to control how we worship or the songs that we will sing. Either it's done by the leadership, either Brother Randy is led by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, Brother Larry's led by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and each member is led by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, or we're nothing more than a club. And that's a fact. Now, let's all stand together as we read together John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May God's blessing be upon the reading of His Holy Scripture. You may be seated. Now, why do you do that, Brother Larry? God, sometimes I wonder why I do a lot of things that I do. But I have done that this year, for you and I to understand how much God truly loves us. God loves me when I'm right. He loves me when I'm wrong. All of this other stuff about, well, God no longer cares about you, that's in the mind of man, not in the heart of God. So God said, I want you to be courageous. Well, Lord, I'm scared. I didn't tell you you wasn't going to be afraid. I didn't tell you that you're not going to tremble. I told you to be courageous, and I will give you that courage. I'll give you the boldness that you're going to need. Well, Lord, they're not going to like me. I know they didn't like me either. Read the book. And God says, I want you to acknowledge my Son. Do you realize how many Christians are very reluctant to acknowledge the name Jesus? Oh yes, I serve the man upstairs. Jesus Christ, according to Scripture, is the man who gave and the man in heaven. Yes, He got a name. His name is Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. When you're looking for a cure for an illness or a brokenness, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's hope in the name of Jesus. There's forgiveness in the name of Jesus. There's victory in the name of Jesus. There's blood that was shed for me, and His name is Jesus who did it. And He says, I love you. Therefore, I want you to be courageous. And we call it holy boldness. Though you're standing here trembling, you can barely stand. Though all the powers of hell seem to be going against you, coming from every direction, and you're shaking and trembling, holy boldness is you go anyway. You go anyway. And if you collapse, you collapse. And when I collapse and you collapse, I will collapse in the arms of a loving and living God who will not allow evil to overcome. I'm going to get carried away. I'm going to get carried away from this earth. So I get a little carried away when I talk about Jesus. And it's called getting excited over someone you know. I have no better friend than Jesus Christ. Do you realize, when I've told you this before, when I would get a call or someone wanting to know about our church, and the question is always just about the same. What does your church have to offer my family? Well, you all know how gruff your pastor is. And it really bothers me after this many years of listening to the same questions that it's got to the point I just say, nothing. We don't have a thing to offer you. I cannot offer you anything that Christ has not given you. I'm called by God to preach His Word. I'm not called by God to do all that other stuff. I'm not called by God to go visiting. I'm not called by God to go walking around and telling people this, you go to this church, you go to that church. You know what I'm called by God to do? To tell about Jesus Christ. To preach the gospel. To stand strong and firm in the truth so that each individual Christian can find strength in that. Yeah, my pastor friends call it, well, you got to pay the rent. See, when I first went into ministry 40-some years ago, I didn't know what that term meant. But I didn't want to sound like I didn't know what that term meant. So at all the meetings, I keep my mouth shut. Until I finally learned, I'm never going to learn anything in these meetings if I keep my mouth shut. Because everybody keeps talking. And I said, well, what does pay the rent mean? And all I wish you could have been there. And all of them at the table wasn't round, but it was square tables with us all looking at each other. And everybody looked at me like there was something wrong with that boy. But here's what it meant, as I was told. It means you have certain people that will be in your congregation. And as long as you visit them, as long as you do for them, then I guarantee you the rent will be paid to keep the lights on in the church. That's exactly what they meant, what they said. And they could name them. And then they tried to swap with each other. Folks, if you knew what went on behind the scenes in religion, you wouldn't want to come to church either. That's why the Lord says, I'm not interested in religion. I'm interested in a relationship. I want you to know that I love you just like you are. I want you to know that you can come and you can talk to me, Larry. I want you to know that my heart is always open for you. You don't have to open the door. I've already opened it for you. Come unto me, you who are laden, you who need rest. The overburden of life, I will fix it. Why are Christians so afraid to be courageous in the name of Jesus? First problem is we're afraid of criticism. People don't like to be criticized. You really don't. You know, I appreciate being liked. I do. I really appreciate being loved. I do. But folks, you and I need to understand something. That if it's going to take me or for you to go against the name of Jesus for people to like me, I don't care whether you like me or not. And if you don't like me for that reason, I guarantee you, you don't love me. So you see, that's what you and I need to be focused on. Having courage in the name of Jesus. Well, you know, Jesus saved my soul. I don't hear that much anymore. Now the question for most Baptists anymore is, where you go to church now? And the sad thing, the way it keeps going, many say I don't go anywhere. because of the foolishness of the world, because Christians refuse to be courageous. Now, I'm going to tell you a story this morning. True story. Takes place in the life of every Christian, but this story began with Christians of the first century church. Listen to John 7:13. No one... Now, Jesus is teaching and preaching. You got it? These people are watching him raise dead people, heal the sick, the lame, the blind. No one had the courage to speak favorably about Jesus in public. I'd love for to speak more about Jesus in the church. But Jesus' name in public. You know, like the... And I'm not saying this against anyone. I can't do it, personally. It has always bothered me to, when we take the holiness of who Jesus Christ truly is, and we put that on a bumper sticker. Again, and I know I'll get the emails on this one, but you listen to me. My Jesus don't need to be a bumper sticker. He don't need to be an emblem or a symbol. My Jesus is God. He's sovereign. I don't need to advertise for Jesus. You didn't come to know Jesus through advertisement. You came to know Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, did you not? Is that not the way that the Holy Spirit works within our lives? Therefore, for they were afraid of getting in trouble with the Jewish leaders. The religious leaders are nailing them for using the name Jesus. Therefore, they could not even speak favorably of Jesus in public. Well, you know, it's just, and many people say, I don't believe in a miracle, but wasn't it so great how those children lived? Yep, called a miracle. In the war within this nation, it's called a miracle. I happen to know the one who handles miracles. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And you need to learn that name if you ever expect to have any kind of hope of success or peace within your own life. Learn that name and learn it well. The consequences of acknowledging Jesus or disavowing Jesus. Now, you have a plus and a minus consequence on this. Listen, here's your story. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Jesus happens to know my name, and I love keeping it that way. Because I know he's kept my name until that day, said he has. I know that Jesus has offered my name. You know that he's not ashamed of your name? Listen to me, Christian. The day you said, I believe in the name of Jesus, Jesus said, I believe in you. That doesn't matter whether you believe in yourself or not. If Jesus believes in you, all these years, at some point, you're finally gonna get it right. At some point, a light bulb's gonna go on like Ford. It's going to shine brighter, I hope, shine and let you know Jesus is Lord. Oh, it only took me 110 years to figure that out, but he's Lord. We human beings have a problem. It's a disease called humanism. It's a disease called sin. Therefore, we have a tendency not to acknowledge the very one who has given us all the blessings that we have. Oh, I pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. Well, you didn't make yourself very well, because you're not going to leave this earth as a male or a female. You're leaving as a spirit. How's that grab you? So see, I am a Christ-made spirit. You and I were created in the image of God. You and I were born again in the image of Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate. And he said, you belong to me, brother. You're the child of a king, ushered in to heaven's throne as a child of God. Why? Because he loves me. And he promised me he would never forget my name. Peter and John, they really got cocky after the Holy Spirit came. These are the two of the disciples who took off running. Remember, all the disciples deserted Jesus because of fear. Now, here they are in the courtyard with all these big hotshot religious leaders standing out there, and they are daring to speak in the name of Jesus. You know what else he dared to do? There was a man there crippled from birth. Peter says, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. This guy gets up and walks. The religious leaders get all upset. Who does he think he is? He did not even go to our seminary. I haven't even seen a degree on his office wall. Not one. Who does he think he is? I suppose they just wanted that guy's legs to fall out from under him. But Jesus, in his power, he gave that authority to Peter and John and the other disciples at that time to make a point. I'm not dead, Jesus says. I'm not dead. You and I witness those miracles every day of our life. Too often we do not recognize a miracle as a miracle. But Jesus is saying, I'm still not dead. I'm still Lord. I am still King. And you're still my child. I know your name. I know your heart. I know your hurt. I know your pain. I know your brokenness. I know everything there is to know about you. So they lock Peter and John up. Lock them up. Because they should not have shown mercy to that man. Who do they think they are? Well, you know, I love the story because here they are, locked in jail cells for using the name Jesus. And the next thing you see in the story, angels coming in, unlocking the door. They belong to Jesus. There is no power of all creation that can hold back the one called in the name of Jesus. The powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And the angels unlocked the doors. They go get them, boys. That's a paraphrase. Do you know what they did? They were also commanded. Now, we'll try them tomorrow. Lock them up tonight. We'll try them tomorrow. Next day comes. Leaders say, bring them to us. Well, we can't bring them to you. Why not? They're gone. They gone where? They gone right out there in the courtyard teaching and preaching again. They didn't go too far, did they? Well, let's just go down and take care of them. So they were harassing Peter and John to the point until this happened. Listen well to it. Acts 4, verses 8 through 12. Then Peter Folks, you don't push Jesus without getting pushed back. He will put up with a lot for a long time. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, this is a different man than the one you saw in the garden the night before Jesus' crucifixion and on the day of the crucifixion. Different man. Same name, same person, different man. He had now been empowered by God's Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he said to them. Oh, you got to remember this too. This poor guy that got healed, the religious leader said, "Who did that to you?" And he starts mocking him, saying, "Wait a minute. I've been out here all of these years. Nobody's ever offered me any healing. A man comes along, you say that you're in touch with God. He heals me and you don't even know his name." He said, "I don't know who he was, but this I do know. I couldn't walk, but now I can. I know that." Surprising. You don't know it. Well, that made him angry. Here now, just a regular person would dare talk to a religious leader that way? So they're getting ready to nail Peter and John. He, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is, speaking of Jesus, the stone you builders rejected, which had become the capstone." Then he says this, oh, can't you imagine the fire coming from their eyes? "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." The name of Jesus. All the power. And you don't use the name? Well, it offends folks. I'll offend you to pieces to keep from offending my Savior. You and I should not search for popularity. We should search for people who need us, who need to hear the story of Jesus, who need to have hope, who need to feel that they can have hope, who need to feel that there's a chance for them to have victory. You don't do that in religion. You do it in relationships. And I have a friend I'd like to introduce you to. His name is Jesus. The religious leaders did not believe in Jesus as Lord. They saw him as a corrupter, as a drunkard, as a glutton. They saw him in every negative manner. But here's what happened. When Peter and John took courage in the Holy Spirit, their eyes saw something they had not witnessed before. They saw courage under fire, and they saw courage recognized. Listen to Acts 4:13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, and could see that they were unschooled, didn't go where they went by any means, ordinary men, they were astonished. And then they took note. What did they take note of? These men had been with Jesus. Yeah, that name I keep telling you about the whole sermon, Jesus. They just took note. Wait a minute. They're unlearned. How could these regular people, or you all have no idea how many people out there that see all of us as subhuman in some way. I know Jesus. If that upsets you, I'm sorry. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him be known. They're weak, but he's strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. So, what's left for me or you as a Christian? Knowing that we've been given the greatest love story, the greatest love letter that's ever been written happens to be the Holy Bible. We have it. The Word of God, the voice of God, the breath of God, the Spirit of God. He says here, I love you. Now you need to live on earth for a period. You see, I don't understand all this. I do know that we have been given life and there's a purpose for the life. I know that. But I don't understand it. I do not understand the you know, what all is happening. So I don't have to. You know what I do know and understand? Jesus loves me. This I know. So I will be here for a very short period. He blessed us to allow us to die 70, 80, 90, gosh, whenever it's going to be nowadays. He gave us time to help others. It's his plan, not ours. I don't leave this planet on my own terms. I will leave when the Lord says, come on home. Now, a few will be sad, but I can tell you, I'll be shouting, Randy, I beat you. I get to see him before you do, Randy. But I'll see you later, brother. That's love. And it's all in the name of Jesus. I know him. I'm not ashamed of him. He knows me. He's already introduced me to his Father. So when the time comes, I'm just waiting for my ride. I'm out of here, Brother Noam. I'm leaving. I'm going to be with the Lord. And you know what's really exciting to me, too? It might not be that exciting for you all, but what's exciting to me, too, you all aren't far behind. Supper time. We will really then know as we are known. And we will then understand love face to face. And we still get to eat like good Baptists. Isn't that amazing? And God set the table. It don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings, for the joy of salvation, for your love. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Son. Help us now as we always lift unto you that holy name for peace, for joy, for mercy upon our enemies. And Father, for your strength and courage that we might truly stand strong in the name of your Son, Jesus. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.